It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Thank you so much for joining me again on the MMA show. I'm so glad to be with you all today. And like always, you can always hop on my website, theambermayshow.com. That's theambermayshow.com. Send me an email, visit the website, see what you think. Let me know that you're listening to the program. That's always a blessing to me. I really enjoy that. And I hope this program is a blessing to you as well. I also have another website I would love for you to check out. It's infoonoils.com. Infoonoils.com. I have just fallen in love with essential oils. It's been a blessing in my life. The Bible talks about them. We have frankincense and myrrh and a whole bunch of other oils too that are mentioned in the Bible. And so obviously they were good enough for them back then. They're definitely good for us back now. God blessed us with plants so that we can use them in all kinds of ways, whether it's nutrition, whether it's to give our bodies wellness. There's no reason, it wasn't just by chance, in other words, that God put plants on here with oils in it to bless us, to bless our body and to help us with everyday life, whether it's stress, whether it's just giving our body what it needs to fight off whatever. It's just a real blessing. There was doctors before there was pharmaceuticals, so what did they give people to get help? Well, natural remedies, of course, just natural things that you plant in the ground and get to harvest. You know, we drink orange juice to help boost our immune system with vitamin C. So we know vitamin C is great for our body to boost our immune system. So there's other plant-based items out there. So check out my website. I really want it to be a blessing to you because I want you to have the wellness that you deserve you have. When you don't feel good, then your life isn't as wonderful as it could be. When you feel great, then you're able to accomplish a lot more and the quality of life is better. So hop on my website, infoonoils.com. That's infoonoils.com. Or you can check me out at theambermayshow.com. Well, enough with that. You probably are tired of me talking about that on my websites, but hey, I'm proud of what I do. And you work hard on your websites, right? So I don't know what's new with you, but loneliness has plagued my life, and I don't know if it's just because we've gotten so consumed with technology and not having one-on-one interaction that people don't think to call or set up lunches or have friends over for dinner. I don't know if it's technology or what, but loneliness has plagued my life, and I hope it hasn't plagued yours. And I've been trying to make a difference with that. I have a busy husband, so he's gone working quite a bit. And so that leaves me alone at home by myself. And if you look on social media, it might not show or reflect loneliness, but you always strive to have a really close friend in your life. And it's hard to find. So when you do find a close friend, hold on to that. Grab onto it and just hold on for dear life. Because those are precious, precious people. People have acquaintances, but they don't have a true friend. You might have maybe a handful of true friends. Acquaintances, you might have a lot, but otherwise, seems like, I don't know about you, but I guess some of the loneliness is I like to set up dates with people, play dates and social dates and stuff. And I seem to get sad when I see people on Facebook go out and I wasn't invited. And I'm like, I thought we were friends. So it's just sad, you know, when that happens. And not saying that they're not my friends, but I'm not the top of their mind for whatever reason. So I'm trying to work at that. So it's a two-way street where I don't want to feel like I set up appointments with people or play dates or ladies' night or whatever. I don't want to feel like I'm putting them on the spot. So where they say, oh yeah, let's do that. Where I'm like, hey, you want to go out to lunch? Or hey, can we come over for a play date? Or hey, you want to do this for a play date? Or you want to come over for dinner? I I don't know, when you don't get that reciprocal response, then it feels like maybe you're annoying people. I don't know. But then I have to think that I've heard this from more than one person that they say they're guilty of not respond, like not being the initiator. They're guilty. I've heard that from multiple people. So then it makes me feel better. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm not annoying them. Because that's the last thing I'd want to do is, you know, put people on the spot to make them feel like weird if they said, no, we don't want to hang out. So I'm going to challenge you today to kind of see if that is you. Are you lonely? And how does that affect the church? Well, it affects it greatly. And I'm going to try to make strides to fix loneliness in my church. You know, it's hard to connect sometimes in church. You might be friends and say hi every Sunday, but during the rest of the week, are you getting together with people at church? You know, in my case, I would like that very much so. It's just a matter of getting on top of their mind so that it's a reciprocal thing where if I ask them to go out, then maybe they'll want to go out with me next time and say, hey, it's a phone call. Because when you miss church for a long period of time and no one calls you, no one reaches out to you, you feel lonely and you don't feel like you're really connected. And I think people like to go to church to feel connected. It's the one place in life where you're all struggling with this issue of sin and you're trying to make the best out of it. And sometimes you just need support. And my church has been a great support for me for different areas in my life. When I was sick in the hospital, they brought food for my family. And I had food for a couple months because of some other organization I'm a part of and my church. It was such a blessing because I was so sick for so long after pregnancy too. I had a rough pregnancy at the end, so it was so nice to have that familyness behind me in my church. It was a part of that. And again, this other organization I'm a part of stepped up. And nothing makes you feel better when people reach out to you and try and be compassionate because they care about you. Whether it's meals or whether it's getting that phone call, hey, do you want to go out to lunch, or dropping off gift cards, money, whatever that case is for whatever situation that family's going through. Nothing makes you feel more cared for in the worst times of your life. And a lot of times we call that the Good Samaritan. And that comes from, I know you probably heard that term on the news, it comes from the Bible. There's a story about, it was a parable actually, that Jesus was trying to get them the hint that, hey, you need to take care of one another. And so if you want to Google that, you can look up Good Samaritan, the story, and you can read it for yourself. I don't have a lot of time here, otherwise I'd get into that with you. But my mission now is to help my church have some sense of community. I don't know if you've ever read the Screwtape Letters, but if you haven't, it's a wonderful book, and I think you should go and rent it at the library or whatever. It's called Screwtape Letters. And basically, it's kind of talking about, well, here's the issue, is like, we don't think Satan ever enters the church doorways, but he's right there. He's right there. And the reason why he's there is because he knows if he can mess up the saints and he can cause division, bickering, fighting, anger, then he disrupts the whole idea of worshiping God, our Savior, getting filled up with the message that God has for us that week and making a difference in our world. So whether he whispers in your ear about this clique that you really want to be a part of, or you heard a rumor that so-and-so said something bad about you, and maybe it wasn't true, maybe it was, I don't know. Whatever that distress is, because every church has it. I don't care where you go to. You leave one church, it's going to be at the next one. Because that's Satan's playground. That's where he can disrupt the saints of God. And I never thought about it before. So I'd recommend reading that book, Screwtape Letters, by C.S. Lewis. It might give you a little insight of what I'm talking about today. It's a cute story, so to speak, I guess, if you would call it that. But there's nothing worse about division in the body of God, and it saddens me because I've grown up as a pastor's kid my entire life, And I had to witness firsthand people coming and going. I had to witness my dad taking family time away from us, which he was already working full time. And then he had to take more time to be with and sort problems out with the congregation. And then people would just leave. And it's people you built connections with as far as our family went in leadership. And it was sad when they left, because once they left, it was hardly any communication after that. So you get to a point where you, at least I did, you just don't want to make connections with people because you're tired of them leaving and being hurt, and you hurting because they're absent from the body. They're absent and you don't see them every Sunday. The fellowship is gone. It was so sad for me. So I vowed I was not going to be in leadership. Well, there's a little thing called God, and he has a better plan for me. And I sit in church, and I've talked to my pastor. I'm like, what can I do here? I don't know where I fit in. I don't know what I could do in this church. I'm not sure. And, you know, I told the Sunday school teachers, I said, hey, the director, I'm like, if you need a volunteer, let me know. I'll sub. I'll come in and teach one Sunday. Just let me know. I even thought about getting involved in the youth group, and they were all great things to do, but I'm still not, okay, where do I fit in? Where is my role in this church? Where am I supposed to do? Because I look at my church and we have great leadership team, and everyone who's in those positions are honestly designed to be in those positions. I couldn't think of anyone better for the positions that are filled. I'm like, okay, well, there's a puzzle piece missing, and I'm that puzzle piece, and I need to know where I fit into the body. And here I vowed before I was never going to be in leadership. I just got sad at the comings and goings. And so I'm not in leadership. I don't belong to any particular clique in the church, but I still make connections with people. And then I see them not there on Sundays, and honestly, it saddens me. Because I cared about those people, and they're missing, and that hurts me, because now that fellowship's not broken per se. Sure, we can call each other, but it's just not the same. It's different because they're not there anymore. So it hurts when my friends leave the church, whatever reasons they have, and I'm not saying they're not good reasons. I'm just saying it hurts deep down. So I've been asking God, okay, what can I do in church? And I think God is putting me into a ministry of creating some kind of community environment where we get to know other members of the church, because I know there's a ton of people at my church that want to connect with each other. There's just, how do they do it? They don't know. It's difficult. So I'm trying to work with a couple women and put together some kind of program. Some program where we can once a month have some kind of fellowship where we feel like when we go to church the next week, we're going to know more people and we're going to know them on a better level than what we did before. I want to know names of people. I want to know about their life and how can I help them and bless them. And maybe we can go out for coffee sometime, have lunch. It's hard because my husband works so much that there's several Sundays where I have to go to church alone, and then I see all these families going to lunch together, and I'm like, oh, I have to go to lunch by myself? How sad. Or go home all alone. It's so lonely. So I'm thinking, wow, I bet there's other people in church that feel that way. How can I get them together, and we all just go out, and we fellowship together? Because really, in order to be successful in life, or to feel completed, there's different avenues, and one of that is fellowship. I mean, God made us to be creatures that want relationships with people. And the reason almost for that is because he wants us to have a relationship with him. And we fill our lives with so many other things, and we don't realize that it's him that's put that relationship hole in our heart. So we'll seek out wanting to have a relationship with him. As he calls us, because every day he's going to go after you, whether you know it or not. Every day he's going to be there and he's like, Susan, hey, let's have a relationship. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be a part of your life. Or he'll say, Paul, hey, buddy, you know, you're going through something hard. Let me help you. Let me carry that load off your back. And he's like, Brian, hey, man, I know that work situation's tough and hey, rely on me. Let me take care of that. Put all your burdens on me. And he's telling Christina, hey, Christina, I know that saddened you. I know you're hurting. Let me hold you. Let me hug you. I'm your dad. Let me be that dad for you. If you're a parent, you know exactly the heart of God, because the way you feel about your kid is nothing compared to how God feels for you. And it saddens him, I think, when the church, when people leave the fellowship. And again, they might have great reasons. I'm not pushing anyone. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad about leaving church. That's not my goal. My goal is to see that there's a problem. And the problem is that Satan gets inside the church and he causes division, and that's all he wants to do. Because if he causes division, then the church can't be successful outside. It can't be as effective at helping people, reaching out to communities and events and hurting and helping the lost and hurting. Because you know what? The church is only a hospital for the sick. And the sick that we all have is the sickness called sin. We all have it. We all deal with it. As much as we want to strive to be perfect and live the way God wants us to live in church, the truth is we're just human beings and we're going to fall flat on our face every single day. But the whole point is trying to get up and be better the next day. The whole goal is to just strive to be Christ. Yes, we're going to fail. But if we don't strive for something good, then what do we have as an alternative? We're not striving for anything at all. And so we're going to just stay in this horrible, sinful nature and not treating people like they should be treated, with kindness, dignity, respect, not talking bad about people behind their back, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to strive. I mean, even if, let's take your business, for example. Let's say you have a career set in mind, and it's really a high, lofty goal that it's going to be hard to attain that career. But without even trying to set a high goal, you're never going to get even close to it, right? So you make these high goals, and then you find these little baby steps along the way to help you try and reach that high goal. Maybe it's a fitness goal. And if you don't set that high goal way up there, you're not going to even get close to it. So like, let's say you set a low goal for yourself. That's easy. That's not a challenge. But the higher your goal is, the more of a challenge that is, and the further you're going to go to succeed, right? I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say, because sometimes I ramble and the last thing I want to be is confusing. But that's all the church is. It's a place that we strive to be Christ, and we're going to fail because we're humans. And I hope that people around us will forgive us for that, because we can't help it. It's just, we're imperfect people trying to live a good life. Trying, that's all we can do. Just striving to be the image of Christ to the world. That's all we can do. So if this is something that you're struggling with, let me know. Email me. Maybe we can encourage each other. But I want to challenge you to find out where you fit into your church and become a leader. And because we're all having this talent and we're all a puzzle piece. And if you leave, then there's that gap that's missing. And we have to live without that. And that's terrible, because God gave you those gifts and talents so you can bless everybody around you. And so each one of us fits somewhere in the church body. And then when hurts happen, isn't it our Christian duty to forgive one another? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? As hard as that is, oh my gosh, forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things ever known to man. But Christ wants us to forgive one another. You know, I'm not saying you have to be best friends after, but shouldn't we try and build unity back? They say that the Bible talks about different steps where if someone offends you, you go up to them. And if they don't respond to you, you take another person, like a third party. And if that doesn't work, then you go in front of a congregation or a larger group of people to try and work out your problems. That's the biblical way to go about it. Because then if we leave, then Satan just wins. And that's the bottom line, is he just wins. And that's the last thing I want. And I don't want to be missing people. I don't want to hurt every Sunday when I look at that empty chair over there, knowing that was so-and-so. And it's just sad. It's just really sad when people that you care for just leave. whether their intentions or their reasons are good or not, it's just sad. That's just what it is. It is what it is when people miss out of your life. It just hurts, that's all. I'm not trying to bash anyone at all, so please don't think that. The whole goal is to try and unite together and not let Satan win in the Screwtape Letters, so go check that book out. We don't want him to win. We don't want him to come in. Don't let him come into your church and disrupt your church. Don't let him do that. Don't let him rob someone of the benefits that you can offer from the gifts that you've been given. Don't let him rob someone of that. Sad, because that's all he wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. Well, listen, I'm sorry if this was a downer of a show today, but it's just something I'm struggling with in my own life. And I figure, hey, let's be real. It's my radio show. I got to be real with you. I'm not no perfect person. It's just things I'm learning along the way that I feel like someone could maybe learn from or get a blessing out of. You're not alone in these struggles. And I've had a lot of different people struggling with different things on the program to let you know you're not alone. You are not alone in your struggles, and let God be there for you because he wants to help you. The drugs, the alcohol will not take away your problems. It's going to make your problems worse. But God can help you through the hardest, darkest times of your life. There's people who have been on the program who have gone through some dark, dark times and have been victors out of that. And I want you to be a victor today. Well, check out my websites, infooneoils.com or theambermayshow.com. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.